Yes. All right, everybody. What's going on? Welcome to another episode of Fire Builders Live. Like always, my name is Josh Corpel. I am coming at you live from Key West, Florida, from the porch. And man, do I have an amazing guest for you guys today. Wayne Ellington is on the show. Wayne, welcome to Fire Builders Live, my man.
Thanks for having me, Josh. Really nice to be here. Good to talk with you.
It is great to talk with you as well. I so appreciate the time, and I cannot wait for today's episode because we will be talking about how to get comfortable by being uncomfortable with all of the stuff that you have done in your life. And besides, before we get into that amazing thing, let me tell everybody that is watching at home and listening on the podcast what it is that we do on Fire Builders Live. What we do is we bring on these amazing guests 6 days a week, very much like Wayne, and we take these big ideas and these big goals and we break them down into small steps, things that you can do to focus, because focus is power, right? And it takes these little consistent steps to actually get somewhere in life and to achieve really big, really great things. And that is what we're going to be talking about today. Let me give you a little bit of a backstory of what Wayne has done. He founded the internationally acclaimed gospel choir, the Manchester Inspirational Voices, in 2006. And since then, he has performed alongside Britpop idols like Blur. He's taken the stage in front of millions of people and worshipers in places like Krakow with Pope John, Saint John Paul II. Man, I always get that wrong. Saint John Paul II. So hard to say. He has also, as part of the Kingdom Choir, performed at the royal wedding, Prince Harry and Meghan, and performed in 2018 on The Voice UK. And I can tell you, the man, he's done so much stuff, the road that he has taken, right? He has followed his dreams, but it hasn't always been easy. The one thing that he has learned along the way is that you need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, because in order to truly become your best, to get up on stage and perform in front of millions of people, you got to cast those doubts and those fears aside. You got to step up and simply go for it. And that, my friends, is why I'm so honored to have Wayne on the show. Wayne, once again, welcome to Fire Builders Live.
Thank you, man. It's great to be here again.
It's so good. I'm excited. I tell you, I like to start the show by asking you, where are you right now in the world? Where are you living?
I live in the UK, in Manchester.
And is that essentially where you are from?
No, I'm from London. I was born in London, born and raised, northwest London. And I moved to Manchester, which is about a 3.5 hour journey on the car, but a 2 hour and some minutes journey on a train. Northwest of the UK.
Okay.
I love Manchester. It is definitely a place for me now. You know, ain't going anywhere. It's always going to be there. I miss my family to bits because, you know, all my siblings and nieces and nephews are there. I do have a set of cousins here in Manchester and some really good friends here. So Manchester is really cool.
It's cool when you find those places that you just vibe with, you know. And by the way, like, open invite if you ever want to come down to Key West and hang out a little bit, you know. It's a little bit warmer, you know. But okay, so I also want to show you this, right? Because, guys, if you are here and you're watching live, shoot us a comment. Let us know where you're from, where you're watching from. Tell us hi. Say hi. Peter Strange says, honored to call this truly gifted yet humble man my good friend for the past 27 years. Yeah. There you go. Wayne.
Pete.
That's right.
Right? The guy who put us together, yeah?
That's right. That's right. We owe this entire conversation to Peter. And man, you've done so much. Of all of the things, of all of the venues that you've sung at, of all of the music education that you've gone through, to you, like, what's been the most challenging till this point? Like, what do you look back on? You're the most proud of.
The thing is, there isn't one particular thing that stands out because they've all had different I've approached them all differently. I've responded to them all differently. A lot of them have been very new things. So every opportunity that I've been given to sing on stages, whether solo or with a choir, it's always been a new experience. And even with my own community choir here in Manchester, they're like, they're like a backbone, you know, because having run that for the past 14 years, where it's rolling, when I say rolling, you've got different people coming every time. So you're always meeting new people. So every sound is going to change. Every concert, every event is going to change. You know, the sound is going to change, the feel, the atmosphere, it's going to change. And it could be just because one person left and another person's come in, or maybe 10 people left and another 10 people come in. So it's, you're always experiencing new vibes, you know?
It's a dynamic thing, like, you know, because when you think in your mind of a choir, you're like, you think it has a specific sound, but it ranges.
It ranges, yeah, absolutely. So not everyone has the same sound. Everyone has different sounds. So I can say everything that I've done in my lifetime with regards to my music and my music journey has been effective, meaningful, and fulfilling. You know? So there isn't, I mean, they're all special. They're all of them, every single one of them.
Well, I tell you, like, we were chatting before this show started, and I was commenting on how impressive it must have felt to be singing, like, in front of all of the masses with the Pope there. And you actually followed the Pope after they did their mass, and I was like, man, what an honor, but what a, like, you know, a difficult and pressure ridden thing to follow the Pope, be like, all right, like, Pope's off stage, he takes off in his Pope mobile, and then you're just like, all right, blam.
The thing is, when you are invited to something like that, you see and feel the excitement from other people. Hence, you've got to keep yourself kind of in a steady place, you know, in a place where it's not so hyped up, it's not so filled with all this excitement of just seeing another human being who happens to have, you know, a respected name and following of lots of people, especially in Krakow, where John Paul was from, you know. So, and you can feel and sense how and why people get excited. But for me, I'm always kind of like the one to kind of step back in my head and just appreciate everything and every skill and every gift that this man has. So therefore, it allows me to still go on stage and still perform as I would do without thinking, oh my gosh, they're there, they're watching, or they're nervous, or there's so many people, you know.
Right.
I feel yourself.
Yeah, you're right. Like, I so respect that. I feel like that really is the mark of a true professional, where you don't let the anxiety of the situation get to you. You can perform. It doesn't matter whether it's the Pope or whether you're in the bathroom, like, by yourself, right? Right. Same deal. And by the way, mm-hmm. I put this up too. You got Dave here saying, hey, right? You've got Shelly saying, joining you from the US, Matt, Wayne. Right? Can truly say he's one of the most genuine people I have ever met. I love him like a brother. Blessings to you. I'm so proud of all your success. That's very nice. Hello, Shelly.
Shelly's from Alabama.
Really?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Great. Good to see you, Shelly. Oh, thanks.
That's cool. So cool. I mean, like, even I feel like a lot of people in the U.S., they can instantly recognize sorry, you got, you know, I've got Elvis. I have Elvis, the rooster, that sings as well on this show. He heard that you're going to be on. you know, the thing that we can recognize, I mean, we certainly know Prince Harry and Meghan, and what was that experience like, the royal wedding, and were there any challenges that came with that?
However, I must say, the Kingdom Choir director, Karen Gibson, the pressure that she was under to keep everything, you know, quiet, under wraps. We all got our phone calls individually. Don't say a word. We know what's going on the date. Look it up if you want to know. I can't say anything. And, you know, so she felt a lot of that strain and pressure. And having to go through the song, the Stand By Me song that the choir sang, had to go through that several times, more than several times. So Karen and the team did a lot of the groundwork in terms of the arrangements and getting things prepared and so on, even down to the stylist and everything. So for me, she set a good table for us to come and just play our part, you know? And so going through the whole process, I was really excited for the choir. I was really excited to be singing with the choir because we all used to sing together when I was living in London, you know? So, and now still able to sing with them and to share that joy. So doing the Royal Wedding with Kingdom Choir, for me, you know, was a great highlight, you know, being with the choir. Because Karen's, I would often run a joke with Karen, say that I've taught her everything she knows, but really, you know, my sister started me off singing, and then, you know, Karen and Noel Robinson were like massive mentors for me at the time as well, amongst other folks around the time. So yeah, so that whole experience was really, really great, a beautiful experience.
I would imagine that it was pretty, it probably was pretty stressful to try and keep something like that under wraps, as secretive as possible, but at the same time, make sure that the moment of, like, everybody was just performing at their best.
Absolutely. That was the bottom line, you know. After we got round our heads, so we've been asked to sing at the Royal Wedding, you get past that, and then it's like time for focus, time for bringing things together, knowing your parts, knowing your moves, just knowing everything, and just continue being focused and centered. So it was great that we had a rehearsal the night before at Windsor Abbey, and it was just such a really nice time. I think I was just really enthralled with spending a lot of time with the choir members because I hadn't seen a lot of them for some time. But singing in that moment, Stand By Me, and especially after that superb preaching beforehand, we were standing all the way through that.
Yep.
It really overwhelmed us to the point that it wasn't just singing for us. It became something else, you know?
I'm glad that you mentioned that, actually, because when we spoke about what we were going to talk about on this show, right? At first I thought it was going to be a lot about the singing, you know, and the mechanics of singing and what you've learned and whatnot, but our conversation ended up evolving into what it really meant to sing. There was something way deeper than that. And now you're teaching students singing, and that's what you're essentially trying to bring across to them, is that it's not just that you can click on some music and have a great voice.
No,
there's something deeper.
Mm-hmm. It is far deeper than that. I think with singing, it's you can only go so far with just singing, because it's far greater than that, because you're singing with your whole being, you know. You're thinking about a lot of things. You're thinking about the face that looks at you in the audience. You're thinking about what you're wearing and so on. You're thinking about what songs you're going to do next, what all sorts of different things, you know. But then still having to be meaningful and centered and focused, you know, towards making sure that your audience is fully engaged with you as a soloist or as a band or a choir. And when you're actually performing in such a way that it goes far beyond the singing, and then it's not just a feeling either, you know, the spirit within you, the emotion kind of like takes over. And I think that's not what's taught in a lot of educational places. It's something that you might not be able to teach it, you know, and get very meticulous with it, but you can actually you can be really,
you can almost like be intentional about it. Like you can really try to tap into that, but not necessarily know how to articulate it. It's more of a feeling. Yeah.
It's so much a feeling. It's like when you actually start singing, you hear your sound, you see the audience faces and so on. And you just get into a space of freedom. You get into a space, into a frame of mind where nothing else actually matters in that moment. And if there is anything that matters in that moment, you're going to sing from that place.
Mm-hmm.
Your song becomes a much greater experience for you, and it will transpire over to your audience.
I think that the question that I had when I wanted to talk with you, I wanted to bring up, you know, what do you do when you feel nervous? And I feel like you just answered that because the nervousness, it sounds like once you're there and just like you were saying, you see the faces on people, you something flips in your head. Like you don't live in that fear space anymore. It becomes something that envelops you and all of that drains away. Is that true? Cause I've never really performed. I mean, obviously the way that you performed. And so like,
It's very much like that. I mean, like you are still aware of all the difficulties and all the trials and things that might be going on in your life, or even the good stuff that's going on in your life. However, with music, is like playing an instrument or even, you know, singing a song, you kind of get into it, but you have to allow yourself to do that. And so you might find where some singers are very a bit shy and not sure how to open up or when to open up. And that's some of the things that I try to encourage people to do, just to put all of your anxieties, all of your nervousness and all these things that you have on a cloud and just watch it roll away. You know, I got that from Headspace, by the way. But it worked for me. It worked a great deal. And from the time I began to meditate and to think about what I'm singing. Sorry.
You know, it's so funny because like we're sitting here like talking about focus.
Yeah.
And I know exactly what that's like because I have people show up all the time on this porch while I'm interviewing, right? They're talking. Somebody started hula hooping the other day, screaming like 20 feet away. Dude, I totally feel you. It's no problem.
Right.
It always happens when you're live.
Right. However, what was I? I think I lost my train of thought.
No worries. So, I mean, you know, essentially like for you, you know, getting into that space, I mean, I know that that everybody has doubts and concerns and fears and a shyness, right? And I feel like you, I mean, you brought up some really great points when we talked about the importance of getting uncomfortable. You have to force yourself to do that. Then you see it was really nothing. The fear was the fear itself, and it wasn't the fear of actually performing.
Right. So, and you're absolutely right. So, because everyone goes through a period of preparation, learning songs, doing all the arrangements, singing your harmony parts and everything like that. And then that's not the scary bit, you know. The scary bit is actually just before you walk onto the stage, you know, because you're thinking – you might be thinking folks are going to be judging you, which they will do. Folks are going to be looking at and thinking about what they're going to hear, expecting, you know, the audience would have raised their own expectations. And that's what will be going through your mind. How on earth can I handle this high level of expectation? You know, and whilst that's sat in your head, then you'll realize you're actually nervous because all these things are, you're going to have to face all of this stuff. Breathing is one thing that really helps that. A great deal. It helps you to manage all those thoughts, all those stories that you create in your mind, which you think are real, but they're actually not because they're not lived. They've not been lived yet. So you can actually say to yourself, I acknowledge all those thoughts. I acknowledge everything that's going on in my mind. I acknowledge that I'm nervous. I acknowledge that I'm quite anxious. However you're feeling, just acknowledge it. And that's all you need to do. The next step is to make sure that you go out there and blow someone's mind.
Yeah, right. I'm telling you, right. Wayne, you should start like the Headspace app for artists like that. You've got the tone, the voice, like everything. You can do it. And by the way, Christine O'Leary, I put this up. You know, she's joking about how you're also given Headspace credit, right?
Well,
and I tell you what's interesting about Christine. I mean, she does stand up comedy. She's a stand up comedian, and it's the same. And I would imagine that she feels the same nervousness. I mean, that you feel.
Mm. Yeah, you know? And I think every artist, you know, they might not say it. They'll feel some kind of nervousness. But the nervousness isn't always a bad thing. It's not always a negative response to feeling nervous. It could be really excited, you know. So my nervousness has turned into excitement. So when I did my blind audition for The Voice UK in 2018, I was fine throughout the whole process, and it was really exciting. I had an exciting time. The minute I got to the steps before doing the blind audition, I remember just freezing. My hands were cold. They had the stage manager beside me, and she was like, "You're going to be fine. You're going to do great. Okay, when you're ready." I was like, "Couldn't make much noise because it was quiet, you know, at front of house." But walking towards the stage, I took some breaths. And I thought about my family and my family and friends who were in the wings. And then I also thought about a story that I heard Oprah Winfrey speak about with Maya Angelou, which was, think about all the people that have ever loved you, that have ever said something kind to you, that has ever encouraged you, that has ever, you know, given you the best advice in the moments that you needed it. Just take all those people with you in the room. And this was before her first TV program, broadcast, I think it was. So I took that with me on stage, do my first blind audition for the Yups. And so still feeling quite excited and nervous because I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how is this going to go? Because this is new, another new thing. So I saw my family and friends in the wings, and I thought, yeah, I'm ready.
I can do this.
Yeah. I had my mom and dad in mind. I had, you know, my godparents in mind, everyone that I can think of that had gone on before, and everyone that I can think of that were still around supporting me. I thought, how can nerves override all of that?
Exactly. I honestly love that. And I'm really glad that you said that, because I think for everybody listening now, it really applies to anything that you're trying to do, not just singing, not just being on stage. I mean, people feel the exact same way about getting on live calls, just like we're doing right now, or picking up their phone and creating a video that they're going to send out in an email. It's the same fear. And by the way, Shelley said, yeah, fear of failure fuels a lot of anxiety. And it's so true.
Absolutely, buddy.
And by the way, go ahead. I was going to say, and also, side note, Christine O'Leary said, yes, and I would pay per minute to listen to Wayne Ellington's voice talk me down to stand up. There you go. So, kind second revenue stream for you.
That's very kind, Christine.
Peter says, even the greatest feel fear, but you just gotta do it anyway.
Absolutely. I mean, Nike got it right, you know, their slogan, just do it, you know. And in fact, some folks don't know what to do, and some people don't know how to do it. So I always ensure that there is the how to and the why you should and why you shouldn't, you know. And not why shouldn't you?
As it pertains to performing and singing,
performing and singing, and also, you know, anything in your life that you know you might be really good at, you might be really skillful at, you might not know how to start or where to start or who to speak to, but the resources are always there. Once you're willing to go ahead with pursuing a dream or a goal that you're after, everything will come to you. But it's just that willingness and that openness to say yes. Because once you say yes, this is from my girl. Elizabeth Gilbert from her book Big Magic about saying yes. You know, when you say yes to something that you'd like to pursue, all the wonderful things that are waiting, all the inspirational things that are waiting to come to you will come to you, you know. But when you're willing, it's almost like saying, I want to be a great footballer, you know. Being a great footballer in a massive league might not happen. However, the process towards it will give you the satisfaction, you know. The process of wanting to be able to sing better will give you that satisfaction. You won't think, oh, I want to be on a big stage now. You'll probably be thinking, I started the process, I like this process, and this is enough.
Well, exactly. Like, and I think that the idea of shifting your thought process to saying to yourself, you know, how long is it going to take for me to be on the big stage, like to be on The Voice? How long is it going to take? Instead, just like you said, falling in love with the process and saying, how far can I go? Right? Absolutely. How far can I do this? Yeah. Absolutely.
And the thing is, the process isn't going to be easy. It's always going to be something within the process that's going to make you feel totally uneasy, totally uncomfortable, makes you want to give up, makes you just want to stop or just take a break. But then there's always that little thing in the back of your head that will be like, come on, get up and keep going. You know, you've got to finish this. I was having a chat with a friend of mine the other day about, if we're going to start something, go all in.
I did.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And, you know, I love to ask everybody on this show, like, what, as people decide for themselves, because to be honest, Wayne, like, I'm curious as to what your thoughts, as you were talking, I was thinking of that saying that you hear all the time where the things that you fear the most, you need to do the most, right? Like, so if you're so scared to get up and sing on stage, that's the one thing that you should really do. Do you believe that?
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why I did The Voice, because I didn't like the idea of competitions. And my choir was, you know, but that was personal, a personal thing. But it's that the process started 2 years before. So in 2016, when in fact, yeah, 2 years before. So 2016, when in fact, let's go back a bit further. When I was about maybe 12, 13 or so, I did a competition, a singing competition with my church, and then I came last in that. I was gutted. It wasn't anything to do with the church, or it wasn't anything to do with, you know, people not supporting me or anything like that. It was just more so for myself. The training that I have now, put me in there. Then, yeah, but that was a process. So from that point, I thought, never again am I doing another competition ever again. So I did go for another competition, and I did one with a guy called Errol Williams, with another organization called Bridge Park. It's not another organization. He works with that organization. But it was set up for young people in the local community. So they did another competition there, and I sang in that competition with another young girl. So it was, you know, a unanimous decision, it was a draw, you know, and that made me feel a little bit okay. And then I went on to thinking, that's it for me. No more competitions ever.
I'm done.
Come 2016, that was my year of yes. And I thought, well, the things that I'm kind of frightened to do, the things that I think I should try and do and go for, maybe I should just say yes to make this the year of yes and see what happens. So my choir comes to me and said, how about we do Songs of Praise, Gospel Choir of the Year? And I was like, that's not what the choir's about. I was just so adamant. I'm like, no, we're not doing it. That's not what the choir's about. And then my choir assistant, Denise, bless her, she says, remember what you said about the beginning of the year? Is your year of yes?
No. Damn straight. Can't break the year of yes.
Right. We'll come up with a Caribbean accent. Remember what you said? It's your year of yes. So I thought, cool. And I said to my choir, if we're going to do this, we've got to do this real good, which means where we're at now, we can't stay in that same place. it means we have to raise the bar, raise the level every time, every week. So I believe we had like 5-6 weeks or so to rehearse and get our moves and everything right. Every week for 5-6 weeks, for 2 hours, singing the same thing, doing the same actions, doing everything, you know, just work, you know, and came back with a trophy after that, which I thought to myself, right, so the process towards that was I told everyone to take the competition label off and turn this into something enjoyable, an enjoyable experience, you know? So whilst in my meditation, I would just think about how to progress with this. But then I realized that the how was never up to me. I just had to say yes, turn up, and other preparations in place. But and then the how happened as it was happening, rehearsing every week, looking at uniform, looking at all sorts of different things. So come The Voice, I thought, take the competition label off and walk down to do this thing. You know, it took me ages. My agent as well was saying to me, you got to do this. This is good for you. It'll be really good for you. And I was like, nah. But then when I decided to do it, I thought, let this work for me.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. Rather, like, don't put any preconceived expectations on what's going to happen, but enjoy the process.
Exactly. And that's all I did. I just enjoyed every process. There was only one thing that I had, you know, a little complaint about, and that was when they had us for the whole day and just didn't, you know, just had us for, gave us lunch and no dinner in the end, you know, and so on. But no one kicked up a big fuss. It was just a simple little email. Remember, you know, we're here for the whole day, so please give us some food, you know.
Right.
Well, taken, you know, it took it seriously because, you know, when I walked in the next time, I was like, oh, Wayne's here. I was like, is dinner here? You know, like, yes, dinner's here. You know what I mean? So it was like an oversight. So it wasn't like a massive thing. But the whole experience, I really, really enjoyed it. It just turned all my no's into yeses.
Well, as people then try to do that for themselves, as they try to turn those no's into yeses, they try to, by the way, I think the year of yes is great. Like, coming up to the end of the year, like 2021, seriously, make that your own year of yes. Absolutely. Like, do it. And
absolutely.
And absolutely. And what do you think, how do they, because they'll be fearful, like there's some apprehension and anxiety in saying yes to those things. What's one thing that you think that people could do every day? I mean, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think?
The one thing, if I could only suggest one thing people do every day, what would it be? And it would be to meditate. It would just be to meditate, clear your head, you know, morning, first thing in the morning, and the last thing at night. And it could just be 5 minutes, even 2 minutes to 10 minutes every day for 30 days. And it's definitely something that, you know, I would seriously recommend. It just clears your mind. You're able to think clearly. You're able to listen more, understand yep. more, and respond better.
Do you do that? You do that right in the morning when you wake up, or do you like have a cup of coffee first and eat breakfast and then kind of let your day progress and then kick in the meditation?
Yeah. At first, when I started meditating, it was like 6 o'clock in the morning, you know. Whereas now, because I'm so used to meditating every day, I just do it as and when throughout the day. But as long as if I find that my mind's getting a bit cloudy, that's when I'll just stop and say a little prayer and just, you know, go into my quiet zone amidst the chaos.
Right. I mean, the chaos. So I spent a bunch of time in India, right? And we did a lot of meditating there, learned all of these Ayurvedic medicine practices and a lot of meditation. The meditation was done over an Indian restaurant, like underneath. It was like the second floor. So the teacher, you know, he would teach you and you would say, look, like, it doesn't matter what's going on outside. You have to try as best you can to just block all of that out and stay. And one of these little like tips and tricks that he had us do was he had us stick our fingers in our ears and just hum. And we did that for a full 2 minutes straight. You just hum, right? After 2 minutes, you take your fingers out of your ears and you begin to meditate. And what that does is it just like totally knocks out your eardrums, right? Or just temporarily, but like, and you don't, you can't, you, you can't think of anything else. You are so focused in that moment. Right. And it worked. He's like, that's what we're trying to achieve, just not with the humming at that point. Soon you'll get good enough that you don't have to hum, but that's the feeling.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And my quiet time really consists of just quiet. Sometimes I might have some meditative music in the background or some instrumental, jazz or classical or anything, but mostly instrumental, just so that I'm not distracted with words or conceptions and perceptions and whatever your mind might bring you to. And so sometimes, a lot of the time, it's just in silence, you know, where I can just train my mind to think about nothing, and for it to be clear. And when your mind is racing, you know how to make it still, you know, just by breathing and just by being quiet and just allowing the mind to just race. But then there comes a point where it has to slow down, you know. And then you're in control of that once you know how to do that. But yes, you got to do this every day in order for it to work.
You know? Yeah. And so if you were to do this, and by the way, like, does the meditation help you in any way in the moment that you feel the fear, right? Like, so if people try this, do you think that the meditation is going to help to alleviate some of the anxiety, or at least better deal with it in the moment so that they can get up on stage, they can do their thing?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Meditation helps everyone in anything. It's, you know, once you've got like a point of focus, but we're incredible machines, you know. Once you've got a point of focus, and for me, my focus point is my breathing. So I focus on my breathing. And then, excuse me, and especially before I go out on stage, I'll always have some kind of a story in my mind to help me along the way whilst I'm walking towards the platform or towards the microphone, or even traveling to the destination. There's always a time where I'll be able to quieten the noise. But like I said, doing meditation every day is something that would suggest for everyone to do once or twice a day, beginning and the ending, or even in the middle of the day. But it's something that you must do and find your own way to do that, you know? Mine's breathing. Mine's focusing on my breathing in order for me to kind of be quiet. And then some people might find other methods of meditation or meditating. But if it's something that's done, you'll definitely find that your anxiety levels, your nervousness levels, they all reduce, you know?
You knew where I was going, Wayne. You knew exactly where I was going, man. You know, like anxiety levels reduced. You know, your willingness to say yes, if this is your year of yes, which, by the way, you have gotten through to my mother, daily meditation with a side of year of yes. What a cleansing spirit of mind. Wow, I think she's going to do it.
Resolution. Hey, here you go. What a cleansing spirit. And oh, wow. Mind, yeah, that's so true, Tara. Oh, lovely to see you.
I'm telling you, you're getting through to people. But you're right, like, you know, after 30 days, doing this consistently brings about pretty massive changes.
Hmm.
So, as you go through this, and you do this daily meditation and you start to become uncomfortable, I'm just curious, does the anxiety that you feel reduce over time, or do you still feel like the same level of nervousness? Actually, you know what? You probably answered the question, because as you get more popular and as your audience levels go up, probably the expectations that you build in your mind also kind of go up. So I guess it doesn't reduce, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, now I very rarely get anxious. Well, I never get anxious. I get a little bit nervous sometimes. But like I said before, my nervousness is all about excitement. And that's because I've turned it into excitement, you know. It might have been about, oh, my gosh, can I really do this? You know, oh, I'm going to be crap at this. Oh, my gosh, the people ain't going to like my voice, or they're not going to like this. And all these stories that go in your mind. So I've had a great time of experiencing writing stories in my head, So it's about putting a full stop on one of those stories that might have negative connotations and then turning the page, or even just starting afresh and starting off with, this is my new story. I'm going to go out on stage. I might feel a little bit nervous, and that's okay. But I'm going to go out on stage and blow those people's minds. I want them to feel what I feel. I want them to experience what I experience. I want them to sing what I sing, sing how I sing, whatever it is. I want them to sing and just sing with joy and sing with freedom and sing with a great sense of meaning, not for me, but for themselves, you know?
Yes.
So what's going in my mind, I want that to be felt and understood by my audience, whether I'm singing here online or out live or wherever. And Karen's played a massive part in that, actually, because I remember being in Brighton one time after an event that we did there, and we went to the pub, and there was lots of people in the pub, and they were wanting us to sing. And I thought to myself, I'm tired. I don't want to really sing anything. But I didn't realize that we had already been speaking with other people throughout the night. And when folks were asking me to sing, I don't know what to sing. And Karen's like, sing Amazing Grace. And I was like, oh, I don't really feel like singing. And she's like, somebody needs to hear it. Ever since that time, whenever people ask me to sing, I'm always kind of gauging, you know, what's the reason why they want me to sing? Because I thought I'm not a singing puppet, really.
So right.
Often having to assess very quickly in my own way why they'd want me to sing a song. If I feel the sincerity of why they'd like me to sing something, then I'll do it. And I've learned that I'll either be prompted either spiritually or by someone else encouraging me to, yeah, this is a good time. Just like how I was prompted to do the Songs of Praise, Gospel Choir of the Year. And yeah, do the voice, because someone needs to hear it.
Yep.
Not even just needs to hear my voice, but needs to hear the song that I'm singing about, needs to hear a melody that I'm singing, needs to hear the tones of the song or the tones of my voice, but somebody needs to hear something.
And well, I also think, at least for me, right, you're right. And then I also, just the act of you singing is for people that don't sing, it's a courageous act. Like watching that and saying, you know, damn, that's inspiring. Just seeing somebody overcome fears, even though they're my own personal fears, right? But watching that happen is friggin' inspiring, man.
Yeah, yeah. And the more you get into it, the more comfortable it feels. At first, of course, it's going to be uncomfortable with anything, really. Especially, you know, for some folks in my choir, you know, I might ask them to come out and sing a part of a song, and you'll just see that they're just clouded with fear. But what I've taught them or encouraged them not to do is to allow fear to override the meaning of life, of what they'd like to be doing in that moment. Because you do want to do it. You do want to get up and sing. But you've got those stories going on that you've written. Oh, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to feel like this, and all sorts. And then you clog up, and that's when nervousness actually lets you know, I'm actually sat right on your lap, you know, rather than turning that around. Yeah, I'm a bit nervous. I'm just going to do it and just see what happens. Just be free and just go up and do it. I might sound horrible. I might sound good. Who knows? Whatever. Let's just do you know what I mean? Those are the stories to be kind of like telling yourself and writing in your own mind rather than the negatives. We're so good at going to the negatives.
Yeah, I agree. Do you have a favorite song that you're singing these days? Like, what's your go-to song now? Because Peter wants you to sing. I want you to sing too. Does it change, or does it, the songs that you sing, do you find that you go through phases where you like certain songs versus others, or do you have like a couple classics that you just always go to?
It depends, you know, Josh. Sometimes I've got a go-to song, and sometimes I don't have a go-to song, and I'll maybe just sing something like Amazing Grace or something like, you know, or something that everyone knows. But For this season, I think a go-to song would be something like Mary, Did You Know? Or Silent Night, or, you know, one of those carol-y, Christmassy songs and stuff. But
do you find that that like you tend to gravitate? I mean, do you gravitate more towards, I would imagine, choir songs, like songs where it's just full of body, a lot of soul? Because I heard you sing Man in the Mirror, and that was like, God damn, man, it was good.
Well, yeah, and I think that's the joy of singing gospel or being brought up in gospel music. Because, and I think that's why a lot of individual gospel singers have a big voice, have a big sound, and do everything, because you've got that gospel sound in the background all the time, whether you're singing with the choir or singing on your own. You've always going to have this big bubbly feeling. I think it's partly cultural and traditional as well. So, and that's what I was brought up in, you know, 4-year-old kid walking into church, hearing all this big sound, you know, you're just hearing all this great big singing, thinking, as a kid, thinking, whoa, and you've been brought up in that.
Yep.
So, when I am singing, yeah, I do hear a full-bodied sound. I like to hear that full-bodied sound. I'd like to hear a full-bodied voice, you know, the tones and the way that the singer uses their minds to weave their way in and out of songs using different types of rhythms, contrapuntal stuff, melodies to kill, you know, harmonies to, you know, I mean, to die for is just incredible. So, yeah, I do go to that, definitely go to that soulful place.
Do you know, so here we've had a request. Brian says, a few lines of You Raise Me Up. I don't know.
Brian, you're going to need to pay for that, you know, Brian. The requests are coming in. Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. What do you think? Should we go for it?
Now, here I am talking about nervousness.
Exactly.
Right. Right. Now, this is a nervous laugh, but even though it's a nervous laugh, it's not like I'm scared or anything. You know, it's like someone's just like, I knew this was going to happen, but I didn't expect it to work out like this. So anyway. You know, Josh, when you get the giggles, man,
Yeah. Well, okay, so first of all, so let's put this on hold for a second. What, before we go, because this has been an amazing interview, a lot of people have learned so much just in this one talk. And if they want to continue the conversation with you, I know that you got a lot of stuff going on these days. What's the best way that they can reach out, stay in contact with you? Like, what do you got going on?
Okay, so they're my socials. Even though I've not been on socials for a while, but I am just gradually, you know, getting back to using my socials again. So my Instagram is WayneEllington7. My Facebook page, you can't miss me. You'll just type in WayneEllington. My LinkedIn is the same. My Twitter is WayneEllington7. So yeah, you can DM me, contact me in that way, or excuse me. Start with that first, and then we can, you know, have a chat through those mediums.
I like it, man. Honestly, it is such an honor to have you here, man. It is so good.
Great. Really good chatting with you.
It's been so good. And I don't know if you're interested, but I tell you what, one of the things that we could do, you could sing us off the show. You know, we could clench it with that. you know, Peter's been relentless too. He's been like, you've got to make Wayne sing if you don't make Wayne sing.
Peter's a joker, man. You're trying to get me back, that's all. All right, Peter, this is for you and everybody else. I'm going to see if this works for me, because we've not tried this, have we, Josh? So I'm just going to see if I am able to play.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Backing track as well, because I like backing tracks.
This is good. We've never done this on the show before. This is exciting.
Nope. So I won't do the whole song. I'll just do, because I think I might need the lower version, the lower key. because when you're singing in Josh Groban's key, man, it's just very high. So is this a lower key? All right, let's try this lower version. Let's try this one. Can you hear that, Josh?
Totally. Coming through perfect.
All right, let's go again. Yeah. Cool. Ah, man. Here we go. I am down and all my soul so weary. When troubles come and my heart burdens me, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be.
Dude, that Wayne, that's the highlight of this entire podcast and show. Dude, you know, you say you're going to go and take that energy and you're going to turn it around and blow people's minds. You just did that, my man. That was incredible. And I'll tell you what, we got Pam, right? What a beautiful rendition. Peter. Peter's in there.
Yeah.
Tara, right? Susie, right? Hi from Germany. So powerful, so positive, beautiful voice and soul. All the best. Joanna, giving you claps.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, man, this was awesome. I'm so appreciative. That was incredible, Wayne. Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. Thanks so much for having me, man. And thanks everyone for tuning in. Yeah, it's been really, really great chat. Great chat with you, man.
It really has. It really has. This has been a great episode, I'll tell you. Well, that's it. I don't know. Like, that's all. You guys, like, you heard it. Wayne, thank you so much, man, for being on the show.
Cheers,
man. This was so good. I encourage everybody to go out, you know, connect with Wayne, right? Check out his stuff. Follow him. Follow what he's doing. Wayne, you're doing some great things in the world. Thanks again for being here.
Thanks so much, Josh. Cheers, man.
All right.
Speak again soon.
Okay. All right. See you guys. Join us another episode of Firebuilders Live. Adios.
Adios.